This is the second session in study number 18 in our studies in the Book of Revelation. We're continuing in this study that's entitled The Counterfeit Holy Spirit. And our text is Revelation 13, 11 through 18. And I want to reread that text so we have it in mind. If you have your notes, we can read it off the NIV provided for you here on page 2. It is, of course, the section of chapter 13 that concerns the second beast, the beast out of the land or out of the earth. So the NIV reads, starting in verse 11, "Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people." By the way, we will look at verse 12 from a couple of perspectives, but notice that the earth worships the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. It worships also, the world worships also the image. So you have the first beast being worshipped, you have the image being worshipped. They must have to be connected in some way. We'll look at that later. The verse 14, because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. And in our first session on this topic, we began to look at the Holy Spirit in relation to this second beast. Holy Spirit counterfeiting, the second beast counterfeiting works of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at the Holy Spirit as one who guides us into all truth. Second beast guides into lies. Holy Spirit performs miracles and empowers Jesus and others to do miracles. The second beast will empower apparent miracles, and I stated also that I do not believe that Satan, and that would be also his forces, the first beast or the second beast, cannot perform actual miracles, that the things they do are like miracles, but they are deceptions. And so now we look to the third of the parallel acts between the second beast and the Holy Spirit. If you have your notes, this is on page 5, where the Holy Spirit gives life and the second beast fakes giving life. John 3:5 tells us that the Spirit of God is responsible for regeneration of the sinner at the point of salvation, that is, giving spiritual life. Jesus answered John 3:5, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." So now we come to the second beast's apparent giving of life, his fake of giving life. I'm going to depart from the notes at this point, and we'll come back to where I just left off if you happen to have them. But I want to make a few points to clarify what we're going to see now concerning the image that the second beast makes. That's his counterfeit of giving life. So here are a number of points to help us, I hope, in understanding this somewhat difficult topic. There are two big popular questions related to this chapter. Two big popular questions that appear in secular situations. First of all, the image that's found here, the image of some aspect of the beast. What is the image? And the second big popular question or topic here in this chapter is the number 666. We'll spend a lot of time on that at our next session, but two big questions that are familiar to even non-Christians. What's this image? There's this image of the beast image, and the 666, which we'll look at later. A second point that I hope will be helpful for us is that the image must be a statue, a faked living statue that looks human and is animated. It talks. It apparently moves. So this image must be a statue that looks human, or some kind of figure that looks human. If it's not a statue, it could be, some have suggested, it's a hologram. So where there's, you try to touch it, there's nothing actually there. But it looks human and it's animated. A third guiding point here is that the image or statue is not a representation of the beast as a man. And we have looked at this several times with regard to chapter 13. Sometimes in the first 10 verses, the beast is viewed as an empire, and sometimes, particularly starting in 13:4, the beast seems to be describing, the word beast seems to be describing a person. So you have the empire and the person both under the term beast. And we'll see a reason for that in a moment. A fourth point, the Roman Empire and the renewed form of it are the same empire. They're Rome. Rome is just underground now. It's still alive, but has yet to appear again. So it's not as if they are two separate empires. For instance, when Jesus was resurrected, he was still Jesus. Same Jesus as went into the tomb appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. It's not two different Jesuses. So resurrection, coming to life, and we have a description of something quote-unquote coming to life here, it's the same entity after coming to life as before. It may look different, and certainly will. But in this case, Rome is Rome, either ancient Rome or future Rome. It's still Rome. Two different forms, but still Rome. A sixth guiding point. Revelation 17 says that the seven heads of the beast are seven kings. Let me read that to you. Revelation 17, 10 and 11. The seven heads are seven kings on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. Now, there is a dispute over the translation here. NIV has they are. Let's accept that for the moment. They are also the heads of the beast, seven, are seven kings. Five have fallen, so they are historical kings. And recall that we said in our treatment of the first beast of chapter 13 that this the individual aspect of the beast, he will rule with 10 kings, and he gets rid of three, but at least initially he is ruling with 10, and then he is the eighth in a succession of kings, and it's those kings that are called, according to 17, heads. This will be important. And then a seventh thing that I hope will be helpful, and that is that, recall that the word beast can refer to the empire or to an individual. Keep that in mind. Many writers, again, I'll emphasize that the image is not a representation of the beast as a man, first beast as a man. Look online and get your books on Revelation out, and it seems that most writers, if not all, seem to assume that the image is of the first beast as a man. We'll see right away that that won't work. It's not an image of the first beast man. So, go back to our notes here if you have them. The counterfeiting of giving life is found here in the image that the second beast makes that appears to come to life. I worded that carefully. He appears to come to life. Can we determine who or what the image looks like and what it means for it to come to life? Here are the key texts, the relevant texts. One in the first part of Revelation 13, where the first beast is described, and one in the second part, where the second beast appears and has the image made. So 13:3, concerning the first beast, says, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. One of his heads. Remember, we know what the heads of the beast are, according to chapter 13. We'll look more at that in a moment. So I saw one of his heads. That separating the terms is important here. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Chapter 14, part B of chapter 14 says, it ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Now, the phrase wounded by the sword links these two verses, 3 and 14. Once again, one of the heads was wounded to death. He must have gotten the sword wound. 14b, the image represents the beast who was wounded by the sword, which must be one of the heads. So what this image represents, according to 13 and 14, is one of the heads. It was one of the heads that was wounded. That's one of the reasons I say that the image is not of the beast out of the sea as a man. He was not the individual as viewing that beast in his one man aspect, the world ruler. He was not wounded. It's one of his heads that was wounded, or one of the heads. Recall that in Revelation 13, as in Daniel 2, where the statue has four parts, both places, kings are closely associated with their kingdoms. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar he's the head of gold. Well, the head also represents the first of four kingdoms, right? So you can say king or kingdom, and you're looking at the same thing, and the reason should be obvious that as the kingdom goes, as the king goes, so goes the kingdom. The king and the kingdom are intertwined. Same way with the beast as an individual, the beast out of the sea. He's a ruler like a king, and he's a king and he's a ruler, but sometimes that beast is viewed as an empire. King and empire, interchangeable. As one goes, so goes the other. So here are the successive kings or kings slash kingdoms that we listed in the previous study as being the seven historical kingdoms, kings slash kingdoms, that ruled before the eighth, which is the beast. Seven successive, then comes along the beast out of the sea. And he's in the list here. So some have this is not my list, others have proposed this, and I think it's very helpful. Adding to the four parts of the statue in Daniel 2, we have the great world kingdoms of Egypt slash king, or Pharaoh, Assyria, with its kings, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and we're told in 17 that the first five were gone by John's time. And that would historically be true. That suggests that this list may be the right way of viewing these heads. And text says, verse 6, one existed in John's day, chapter 17. One existed in John. One is, same time as John. A seventh is yet to come. So you, and we're suggesting that is the revived Roman Empire. And text says the beast is an eighth, right? Now, within this list, there are some associations. For instance, 3 through 6 are the statue, in the statue, four parts of the statue, right? So I put a bracket next to 3, 4, 5, 6. You got the head of gold, Medo-Persia, the chest area of Greece, and Rome, the iron with the iron legs and iron clay feet. So 3 through 6 are a group. Verses 7 and 8 would be the beast, because he is both the revived Roman Empire and the beast as an individual. 7 and 8 are the beast. And they're a kind of a unit, just like 3 through 6 are. But also 6, 7, and 8 form a unit. They're all Roman stuff. So there's another place you could put a bracket. I'll go over them again. 3 through 6 could be bracketed as corresponding to Daniel 2, the four parts of that statue. 7 and 8, where the two sides of the beast out of the sea coin. One side is the empire, one side is the person, the world ruler. And then 6, 7, and 8 are all Roman stuff. So they're a group. And put it another way, as you saw in the last study, the beast out of the sea is sometimes viewed as the Roman, the revived Roman Empire, and sometimes as an individual. That would be true of all of these, really. Yeah. One through six, and then seven and eight, two sides of the same coin. Now, according to chapter 14 and verse B, which we have in your notes here, the image is made in honor of the beast that had been wounded. The image, statue or hologram, is made in honor of the beast that had been wounded. And again, according to verse 3, the statue is a monument to one of the heads of the beast. And according to chapter 17, the heads, as we said, are successive kings. That would be the ones in the list. Since the heads are the historical kingdoms that existed before Rome, and then Rome itself, the image would represent one of these kingdoms. In other words, the beast that had part of him die, the head, that is representative in the image. So let's try to draw this together. The person form of the beast out of the sea, the world ruler, man of lawlessness, prince that will come, ruler that will come, Daniel 9. He is not one of the seven heads. Seven heads were historical to him. So he's not the one who receives the wound, the person. And I think, again, this is what many readers and interpreters of Revelation 9 say, the images of the world ruler. That won't work, because the image was of one of the heads, one of the kings, that was an antecedent, lived, reigned before this world ruler. So he is not the one who is portrayed in the image, hologram, statue, and he is not, because he's not the one that received the wound. I believe then that the best interpretation, and by the way, there would be no need to make a statue representing the man first beast, because he's on the scene and he's being worshipped. He's a known entity. Why make a statue of him? He already is there and ruling the world and committing the abomination of desolation and breaking the covenant. So in the middle of the 7 years. So he's already on the scene. There would be no need to make a statue, hologram, image of him. It must be of something else. And we know it's of one of the heads who was an antecedent, who existed before him. So I think that the best interpretation is that the wounded head is the, and there's a mistake in your notes, I'm sorry, is the sixth in the series of kings or empires. That would be Rome. Having died out, as if it were wounded to death, so that if you ask an average person today, where's Rome? Well, it's dead. Over 1,000 years ago, Rome's dead. Right? Normal understanding. Right? Now we can say more about the image or statue. Since it's not a representation of the beast as an individual, but of one of the historic kingdoms existing before the world ruler, the individual form of the beast, I believe that it's some kind of portrayal of the Roman Empire as being revived. Once again, remember that Rome is Rome. Whether it's old Rome, new Rome, you can look at it and say, well, that's Rome. Right? Same thing. Two sides of the same coin. So perhaps the image is a statue of one of the most prominent Caesars or a great Roman soldier. And even though today the Roman Empire seems to be dead and gone, that's only an appearance. God causes it to be revived as if it is brought back to life. And this statue then represents the Roman Empire brought back to life. And I think this picture, which I drew from a site, interestingly enough, called Jesus Plus Nothing. If you want to have a little encouragement, look at that site. It's associated with a church in New Zealand, a ministry in New Zealand run by two men, Ian Gordon and Brett Wilton. And there's a lot of interesting information on it. And one of the things was this drawing of the image, which is portrayed here. It looks like a statue appearing on a screen, or maybe a hologram. But it's big and impressive, and it talks. And it tells the whole world that they should worship it. And it appears to be alive, but it's a fake. It's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit's life-giving work. This image represents something brought back to life, which would be the sixth kingdom brought back to life as the seventh Rome, the sixth Rome, the seventh. And people looking at it would say, this is a wonderful thing. Rome is back. So this statue is, in a sense, Rome. It's as Jesus was Jesus before the resurrection and same Jesus afterward. This is Rome before these events take place, before the revival of the Roman Empire and the image being made, and it's Rome afterward. And they'll look at this and say, isn't Rome wonderful? Again, it is not a statue of the beast as an individual or image of him or a hologram. It is Rome, old and new. It's a wondrous thing that Rome has been revived. This is apparently miraculous. It's a giving of life, just as life is given, in a sense, metaphorically to old Rome. This beast is given life. He stands for old Rome, given life as new Rome. According to the NIV, the second beast is empowered to give life, it says, to the image of the first beast so that it could speak. However, the word translated life is pneuma, not zoe. Zoe is the usual word for life. We might expect that. If there is a true resurrection, we would expect that. Pneuma means spirit or breath. So the idea here would be that there's a spirit, there's animation given to this image. He moves. He looks like he's alive. But this would be a trick that even today could be accomplished by artificial intelligence and electronics. Technologies available today would suggest that this could be something like an android, a robot, a hologram. Whatever it is, the image is so skillfully made that the whole world is tricked into believing there's been a kind of resurrection. It is a resurrection, in my interpretation of this passage, of old Rome brought about to new life as the new Roman Empire. And of course, this is a work that counterfeits the Holy Spirit, done in attempted duplication of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The result of the apparent coming to life of the image is that the world worships the image itself. We also see that the image can somehow discern who doesn't worship and then cause them to be killed. Verse 15 says the second beast was empowered to give life to the image of the first beast so that it could speak. Regarding the image and the worship given to him, we have historical and biblical antecedents. John's readers would have been very familiar with the heathen practice of worshiping Roman leaders and their statues. Worshiping the statue of the revived Roman Empire, or a robot, or a hologram, will be the high point of counterfeit worship for the human race. There are several points of correspondence also between the image and Daniel 3, where Nebuchadnezzar demanded that everyone worship the huge idol that looked like him. It seems that the Holy Spirit led John to utilize that Daniel 3 event to punctuate the careers of the two beasts in Revelation. By the way, verse 12 says, and we'll go back to the text and read it so we have it carefully. Verse 12 says, it, the second beast, exercised the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. There the first beast, the one out of the sea, is viewed as, I suggested with regard to bracketing in that list, viewed as Rome. So the first beast being healed, we've said, is more specifically the old and new form of Rome, but it's still Rome, and it's still, therefore, the beast, which is all Rome, can be said to be needed to be healed. He was healed after a blow that seemed to put him out of existence. So here, Rome and its different aspects includes the aspect that it had a death blow, apparent death blow, and was brought back to life. We'll stop here and continue on next time and get into the almost equally difficult understanding of the number 666. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Cause us to be careful students and want to find out what the details mean. So many people pass over this and see it as something spiritual that they cannot make sense of. We want to be careful and not go too far, but we want to understand as much as you want us to from each passage of Scripture. Thank you for the spiritual challenges of studying your word. May you be pleased with our efforts. We pray in Jesus' name.